You are listening to Sunday morning service at Unity of Tustin. Unity of Tustin is a vibrant spiritual community committed to individual and collective awakening through sacred teachings and practices. One God, one heart, many paths.
Good morning and welcome to Unity of Tustin. My name is Amy John and it is my honor to be of service today. Will you please join me in prayer? Beloved one, we give thanks for you, for this time together, for this sacred community, and for each other. We open ourselves and turn toward your divine presence. We know that this time is holy and sacred, and we are grateful for your many blessings upon us today and every day. Amen.
Well, thanks for having me, and thanks to Amy for inviting me to be here. And the Daily Word talked about gratitude and appreciation, and that's, I just have that wonderful sense of that. And this morning, I had a chance to walk the labyrinth and walk around the grounds, and I was thinking, because Unity Village was originally a cornfield, so I was wondering what this looked like before all the development that happened here. And after they had developed Unity Village, they invited the farmer back that they'd bought the cornfield from, and they showed him the gardens and the fountains and the buildings and everything, and they said, "What do you think?" And he said, "You ruined a perfectly good cornfield." So he did not have much of a vision beyond being a farmer and having a cornfield. And that's one of the things that I love about Unity, is that we have a vision. We have a vision of seeing the world in the possibilities, seeing in the midst of even difficulties, even tragedies, that there is something different that can rise out of that. And the key to that, of course, is prayer. Unity has been founded on prayer. Myrtle Fillmore's prayers were the beginning of silent unity, and out of that has grown, you know, worldwide ministries that have happened. And so when we see that prayer can change things, there's this transformational power that happens when we get ourselves connected to God through prayer. And it doesn't matter what things look like or how they've been, prayer can move things into something new, something greater in our lives. And of course, the disciples of Jesus recognized that there was something about his prayers that made a difference. And so at one point they said, "Teach us to pray." And out of that came the Lord's Prayer that James just sang for us. And those words are amazing and powerful, but sometimes we miss the introduction to those words. When Jesus first answered their question about teaching them to pray, he said, "Well, don't pray like other people do. Don't stand up in front of them with a big voice and being, you know, out in an outer way." And the King James Version put it this way: "Go into your closet." The American Standard Version translates it this way: "Go into your inner chamber." And the Amplified Bible says, "Go into your most private room." But I love this. This is from the Orthodox Jewish Bible. "Go into the secret place, your inner school." So Jesus says, don't do your prayer in an outer way. Go into that place inside of you where when you connect with that, then energy moves, because the universe is an energy system. And we recognize that in a powerful way. You've all heard the phrase, "Every thought is a prayer." I think I found where that came from. Ambrose Worrell, he and his wife were spiritual healers. And it was interesting because they did no publicity. They did not do big public events. If people heard about them, came to them, they would pray with them. And amazing things happened with that. One of the other things that Ambrose wrote was this: "Thinking sets in motion spiritual forces to bring about change in body, mind, companions, hopes, and despairs." So that's why the disciples, of course, asked Jesus, "Teach us to pray," because they had seen that happen. And we too can recognize that we can be a part of that as well. The trouble is that for most of us, we have a Zig Ziglar called stinking thinking. We have, between our thoughts about God and health and abundance and joy, other thoughts about lack and things aren't going to work and what's wrong with them and what's wrong with me and all those types of things as well. And so we need what Swami Biyananda called mental floss. It helps prevent truth decay. So we need to clean up our thoughts. And of course, prayer leads us to that. Prayer helps us direct and focus and align our thinking and feeling to generate that power of God and bring it forth in life in a greater way. And so the image that I want to give you for a model of prayer is called bathing in prayer. The first time I heard this concept, it really hooked in my mind as a way of praying for someone. Because when we're praying for something, many times what we're praying about is what's wrong with their life. We're praying because they're sick. We're praying because they don't have money. We're praying because their life isn't working. And so we're focused on what isn't working. And so the image of bathing them in prayer is not about words, really. It's about imagining that we're just holding them in prayer. And the way that I imagine for myself is thinking of when my children were infants. And when you would bathe a baby, you don't just plop them in the tub. You cradle them, don't you? And you're bathing them, you're taking care and aware of their body and holding them that way. And so that's the idea that I have, the feeling that I have is that when you're bathing someone in prayer, you're cradling them in that presence of God. And that brings my mind not to what's wrong, but to being in the midst of love. And of course, to do that, like on the airplane, they said, you know, if you're going to use the oxygen mask, you put your own on first before you help somebody else. We need to bathe ourselves in prayer first. So that's where we're going to start, is bathing yourself in prayer. And again, as I mentioned, this image of being cradled, and what came to my mind as I was preparing for this is all the different ways that the image of mother and child have been depicted through the ages. In traditional Christianity, particularly in the Christian church, we have images of the Madonna and the child. But they go back before Christianity as well. So we have a picture like this where Mary is bathing Jesus, but we also have a picture like this, or a statue like this, that goes back 5 or 6 millennia BC in the Vinca culture, where again there's that image of the mother and child. And so this first sense I'd like you to have of bathing yourself in prayer is that it's about God's love. That, again, it doesn't matter what we did or didn't do, said or didn't say, God loves us anyway. And so we recognize that sense of prayer in ourselves. So I invite you to see yourself as the beloved child of the infinite and the eternal, and just to recognize that you're bathing in that presence of God. So I invite you to close your eyes just for a moment, and just imagine that you're being bathed in that presence of God, bathed in God's love, bathed in God's light, bathed in God's life, and that energy is there, and you're just being renewed and blessed and healed in that. So you can open your eyes if you want. If you want to stay in that bath of prayer, you can do that as well. In the book Teach Us to Pray, there's a wonderful quote. It says, I now bathe in the great ocean of life, and I am free and boundless spirit. I hear the voice of truth only, and I rejoice. And so that's the sense I have when I'm bathing myself in prayer that I'm having. So let's say that first line together. I now bathe in the great ocean of life. And just feel that that's your truth in this moment, that you're bathing in that ocean of God's life and love and joy and all that God is. Let's say that next line together too. And I am free in boundless spirit. What happens is we bathe ourselves in prayer, it helps release that stuff that is there, the stinking thinking, and helps us let go of those things that we don't need. That's one of the most powerful of the 12 powers that we have, is that power of release, that power of renunciation, that power of letting go. I don't need this stuff. I'm letting it go. I'm letting it go. And bathing ourselves in prayer helps us do that, helps us open up to something more. And then in Charles Fillmore's wonderful book, Keep It True Land, he writes, bathe yourself in this boundless ocean of wisdom, love, and light by holding for a few moments in the silence the thought, thy spirit sets me free. Thy spirit sets me free. So it's just that prayer to God. Just we're bathing ourselves in prayer, and that spirit sets us free from all the limitations, all the negativity, all the things that aren't working, and moves us into a sense of order and joy and peace and love. And so that's our first step, bathing yourself in prayer. So you've had a chance to practice that. I invite you to continue to do that as we go through the rest of the lesson. So once we've taken care of ourselves, then we want to bathe others in prayer. And for me, the real sense here is that we want the best for them. Even if we've had something, some issues with them, or they haven't done But you know, I always loved it when my wife was coaching soccer when our boys were young. And during the soccer game, you'd see the parents standing on the sidelines with their foot trying to get their kid to kick that ball. And it just used to crack me up. You know, it's like, you can't control your kids, can you? You'd love to. And I said, wouldn't it be nice if you just had a little joystick and you could just, you know, move them where you wanted to go? And it doesn't work that way. And so, but prayer is a powerful thing. And so we want to recognize that what we're coming from, again, is not from a place of wanting to fix them, but a place of knowing that they're connected to God, they're surrounded in what God is and what God is about. And so the word that I want to direct you to is one of the Greek words for love. There's, in English, we have one word for love. The Greeks have three, at least. First is eros, the sensual love, the physical love. Philia, which the word Philadelphia comes from, that sense of brotherly love. And then agape, which, and it's an interesting word. It has so many dimensions to it. In one sense, it means benevolence, to do good to others. The original translations in the King James, where it says in 1 Corinthians 13, they use the word charity. Charity is patient. Charity is kind. And charity not in the sense of giving to somebody else because they need it, but out of a sense of love, out of the sense of I still, when I do emails, will write dear. You know, dear Ken, you know, dear whoever I'm writing to. Because I want to have that sense that whatever the email is about, it might be simply I'm ordering something, you know, but I want to come from this place of this is a child of God that I'm communicating with, and I want to have that sense of connection with them in that way. And when we come from that sense and we're bathing someone in prayer, our hearts are open. Our hearts are open. That's why we need to bathe ourselves in prayer first, because if we've got clutter in our hearts, it makes it more difficult to pray for someone else. So I invite you to think of someone now, someone that you care about, someone that's dear to you, and not about what's wrong with their lives, their bodies, their finances, or their relations, or whatever, but think about them as a beloved child of God, and just bathe them in prayer. So if you want to do it with your eyes closed, after you practice a while, you can do it with your eyes open as well. Just imagine that they're being bathed in prayer, bathed in that presence of God, bathed in a sense of light, bathed in a sense of peace, bathed in a sense of abundance, bathed in joy. And so that's a beautiful, beautiful gift that you can give to them. Okay, so again, you can open your eyes if you want, or you can stay in that experience if you want. And I want to take one more step with this, bathing those difficult people in prayer. And so really what, for me, what's about this, that, and I put you, but I'm going to say me, I need to heal the dark places in my mind and heart. I need to let the light in. Because there's times when, you know, the way I'm thinking about someone else, you know, I've got this hold on what's wrong with them. Like Greg Tamblyn has a song. He says, is that you're safe in the thoughts in my mind. You know, you don't have to worry about what I'm thinking about you because I'm thinking good things about you. So we want to have this sense. And if we have someone that we've had challenges, which we usually do in some way, whether someone close or with someone in the political scene or some foreign whatever, you know, this is an opportunity for us to step into a larger spiritual practice of bathing for them. And to separate, as they talk when we're raising our children, separate the person from the behavior. As a person, they're a child of God. Their behavior may be difficult or hurtful or, you know, not needful in some way, and we can identify it and speak to that, but we still want to hold them as precious to God. We still want to see them as God's child, regardless of what their behavior is. Again, we can stand up to the behavior, we can challenge the behavior, we need to do that. The dark side needs to be addressed, but we can recognize who they were. We were traveling, my wife and I, at the end of the school year, and we were up in Montana, and I saw this billboard. It had Abraham Lincoln's picture on it, and it had a quote from his second inaugural address, "With malice toward none, with charity for all." And it struck me in the sort of the political climate we have, where there's not much conversation going on. It's mostly just, you know, talking at each other. That here was a time in our nation, at the end of the Civil War, where people literally were fighting each other, killing each other. And he's saying, with malice toward none, with charity for all. And he was inviting our nation at that time to step into a different way of being together, a different way of being present to each other, a different way of acknowledging each other. And if they could do it then, and of course they had challenges with that and difficulties with that, but if they could, at least some people could set their intention for that, we can set our intention for that as well and be holding those people in prayer. And so, again, I found this other prayer. This is from a Sioux author and artist, Paul Warcloud. And he said, here's his prayer. Great Spirit, giver of all life, you have been always. Before you, nothing has been. Look and smile upon us, your children, so that we might live this day to serve you. And I love this part. Watch over my relatives, the red, the black, the white, the brown. Sweeten my heart. I love that phrase. Sweeten my heart and fill me with light this day. Give me strength to understand and the eyes to see. Help me, Great Spirit, for without you I am nothing, which I translate as, in God we are everything. Without that sense of the presence of God, we're not connected. We don't have energy. We get tired by life. But when we know that we're connected with God, the Great Spirit, however we want to identify it, then there's this sense of renewal, the sense of strength, the sense of this flow of energy that can move in us at any time. And so I invite you to think of, you know, a politician, somebody in the world, maybe it's a neighbor that you have that's, you know, one of those difficult people that you've labeled, maybe a different language that you've used for them. And I invite you to bathe them in prayer. So out of that place that you've bathed yourself in prayer, I invite you to close your eyes and bathe that person, that group of people, those neighbors, whatever it is, bathe them in prayer. Bathe them in prayer and see them connected. See them at peace. See them having their needs met so they don't have to act out in ways that are hurtful to others. See them fulfilled. See them radiant. So again, you can stay in that, or if you open your eyes if you want. My wife and I bought a house about a year and a half ago now. And on the property was this building in the back that we knew had not been permitted, had built without a permit. Two rooms and a bathroom. And I saw that and thought, Airbnb. Yeah, because it was empty, and we know the guy had rented out. So we furnished it really nicely and decorated and redid the floor and painted and added air conditioning, all these wonderful things. And for about a year, it was booked almost every night. And then we were gone, on this trip that I mentioned. And while we were gone, our son was there and his wife with their dogs. And they have a dog who's a yappy dog. And I have to bathe her in prayer, too. And the neighbor texted me. We were in Utah at the time. The dog is barking, so I texted my son, and he came home and stuff. Well, the next day, she called the city code enforcement people and reported us that we had Airbnb, which our city doesn't allow, and this building that wasn't permitted, you know, on the property line. So we came back to this notice from the city that we had to cease and desist with Airbnb and that we had to talk to the building department about tearing our building down. And so the initial feelings, because we're pretty sure which neighbor it is, were not charitable, to say the least. But then I remembered that billboard with those words from Abraham Lincoln, with malice toward none. I can't even have a few. With malice toward none, with charity for all. Okay, so that was my mantra, with malice toward none, with charity for all, even her, with malice toward none, with charity for all. And it was interesting as the days and the weeks unfolded to move to a place where saying, you know, I think this is maybe a blessing that she did this, because rather than thinking that we've got to do this way and thinking that this little unit was the source of our supply, for us to remember, no, God is the source of our supply. And it's calling us to be open in a different way. And it's interesting, all these things that have unfolded in our lives, once I've made that shift, and to go, she really did us a favor by calling us in. And we're actually looking now at doing a conversion above our garage that's permitted and legal. Because one of the big things now is housing, and so and we can't do Airbnb, we know that, but we could create a wonderful space for somebody to live. And so it's moved us in a whole new direction. And so when we are able to practice this idea of bathing even the difficult people in prayer, it moves us out of a limited arena into a larger sense of what life is about. And isn't that what we want? To live in a larger way? And so bathing in prayer helps us do that. So one more quote here. This is from Myrtle. Dear Myrtle, think of the goodness of God in the life of all of his children. So whatever they've done, whatever they didn't do, whatever they said or didn't say, think of the goodness of God in those people. Sweeten your heart towards them. She says, think of God as everywhere present, light, love, peace, power, and life. So there's our formula for bathing them in prayer. With light, with love, with peace, with power, and life. Think of all men, all women, all children as abiding in God's presence and expressing God's qualities. So we bathe them in prayer, not just for that moment, but to see them out of that moment rising into a new expression of God. And as we take time to bathe ourselves, that will happen for us as well. We've all heard that cleanliness is next to godliness. So take time to bathe yourself in prayer. And with that full sense of God's love, bathe others in prayer as well. Happy bathing.
Unity of Tustin is supported through your generous tithes and love offerings. To support Unity of Tustin online, please click the donate button on our homepage. Thank you for listening.